Okay. Okay, the timing is just nice, huh? 8:15 plus a bit, huh? So we don't have to hurry like normal day, huh? Because today is a very auspicious day, huh? For Padmasuri and the family. So they have invited us for a very sumptuous and nice vegetarian dinner. Then also tonight, because Sufutong Teng Siong is here, huh? So we had a lot of joy and wholesomeness, and many of Kayan Mita too. I think you have known Sufutong Siong because we used to go to Cameron Highland, the Sampo Temple, huh? For retreat every year. And Sufutong Siong has been very helpful. Every of the retreat, he really helped us in many things. Then there is also this affinity with Achan Achalo. Huh? Every time Achan Achalo there, Sufutong Siong has affinity with him too. So these are the conditions that lead to tonight's special Thursday class, which Sister Padmasuri has requested for me to come over to do the sharing. He also wants me to share a bit on their India trip, the significance of going for ordination, and how to benefit from such spiritual trips. And all these are very important and very relevant. I have spoken the spiritual trip on many occasions, but the significance of ordination and going for, I seldom talk about it because there were not much condition until recently Padmasuri make that request. So tonight, hopefully, we will have those sharing. So our format will be slightly different tonight. Okay, so as usual, we will start our puja now, 8:19, in about maybe less than a minute. 8:20, we start. So tonight, who is lighting the candle and the incense? We have the honorable guest, Sufutong Siong. She will be one of them. Then who else? Padmasuri and Brother Tiong Desai. Who else? Your father-in-law. Yeah, she wants to light. The father-in-law, 90 years old, but he wants to light himself. Very, very, very strong faith. We rejoice. Ask Brother Tiong to help to bring your father out. Your father? Oh, never mind. Let her take her time. Don't worry. The dad is 90 plus. Still healthy, still mobile. Very blessed to have such a elderly parents. Who at this age can still be mobile and healthy. All these are because of their blessings. Without such blessing, most people, when you go through the phase of life when you are above 80, 80 and above is not easy. Well, this one break 90. And most people, when you approach 80, you will understand the noble truth. First noble truth, reality, the Buddha talked about old age, sickness and death are realities of life and existence. And when you confront them without understanding, suffering will arise. So this reality, many younger people may not understand until they hit certain age. But nowadays, because disease is so common, so many of this younger generation, they are exposed to disease or sickness. Some at a rather young age, they encounter a very traumatic type of disease, or they also weakness among their friends, their colleagues, their loved ones, many. But old age is maybe for the younger people, they only see them happening to their parents, their grandparents. But as you go through life, especially when you hit 40 onward, you will start to understand more about getting old. Many things will start to change. So you can start off puja. Let your dad. Then anyone light the incense first. Let her light. Oh, candle or incense after her. Let him press. He know how to press. Sadhu, sadhu. It's like sadhu, 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 sadhu. That's Peng Siong Sufu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Brother Tiong light the other candle maybe. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Padma Surikaf, you make the offering of the tray, yeah? You start off the puja. You start off with the tray, yeah? Temporarily off the fan. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 sadhu, 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 sadhu. 放在下面，sadhu, sadhu, 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 sadhu.Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Who is driving the Nissan X-Trail? Oh, okay, okay. No, no. It's Christina. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.Okay, you all can be seated. Okay. We are now start the Theravada Puja. So, you have your chanting book, get ready. And we will pay respect to Triple Jam, following the Theravada tradition.There's a Buddha Rupang here. You all can face the main one. Then I will face this one. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami.Okay, you all can be seated. Then after that, maybe you all wait. Let Sufu Tung Siu sit first. We pay respect to her. 不要紧，不要紧，你坐。因为一定要。It's our respect and our gratitude towards what the Sangha is and also what she has done for us. We will pay respect to Sufu Tung Siu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.Okay, 1, 2, 3. Okay, now you can be seated. For those who don't have the chanting book, you can collect one from here. You can turn to page 4, we will do the puja chanting. Oh, Joyce is also here. Just now they say Nissan X-Trail, so Mimi thought it's yours. Christina. Okay, turn to page 4, we will do the...Puja chanting, Vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa.Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sattang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Dinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surame yamajapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Then we will chant the Padipa Puja offering of light. Yeah? Ganna sarapaditena ditena tamadang sina ditopatipang sambutang pujayami tamonodang. Ganda sambarayutena dupenahang sukanthina pujaya ujani yang tang puja bacana muttamang vanna ganda guno petang etang sumasantatin pujayami monindas siripada sarorohe puje mi buddhang kusumena nena utnena mathena cha hotu mokhang utang pilayati yatta idang me kayo tata yati vena sabhavang adiva se tuno bante Paniyang parika pitang anu kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang. Okay, turn to page 18. We will do the puja aspiration. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity, fruits of our karma, so that we will strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we would diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balance of powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to Triple J. Buddhaṃ pujami. Dhammaṃ pujami. Sanghaṃ pujami. Okay. You all can be seated. And maybe we can have about 15 minutes of meditation. We are tonight. I think we have to stop earlier. We are tomorrow. They are taking a flight to India. Some of you. What time is the flight? What time? Oh, okay. Means you have to get ready by 9. You really have to pack tonight and sleep early. So I think we plan to stop at 10 o'clock, not too late. Otherwise some of you may not have enough rest. Then on the flight you have to go to Bangkok, I was told, then from Bangkok you fly to India. So maybe 15 minutes, okay? Since all have been here before, we got off the light, then meditate for 15 minutes. I will ring the bell after that. Okay. You all can start your meditation now, straight away. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then we will continue with our puja chanting, invitation or invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6. I will read the English translation. In this universe in their entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine.
Samanta Chakvalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Saggamokkhadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Ittipiso Bhagava Arahan Samma Sambuddho Vijjacarana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhammasarati Satta Deva Manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandittiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabo Inohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Satichi Pachipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukkani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ahuniyo Bahuniyo Dakiniyo Anjali Karaniyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, we are paying respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang Pachemi. Dhammang Pachemi. Sanghang Pachemi. Okay, you can be seated. Eh? So tonight, like I mentioned just now, is a special night for Sister Padmasri and family. And we also have Sufu Teng Siong with us. So together we shall have a simple sharing on the significance of going for or renunciation. In this case, is Padmasri's very sincere intention to become a Samaneri. I think she is taking the 10 precepts in it. So anyway, this short duration of going forth, which is taking the Samaneri precepts, for men, you call it Samanera precept. Normally, before you are ordained into a full bhikkhu or bhikkhuni, you start off with the Samaneri and the Samanera precepts, ordination. Then when you can get used to it and are confident and understand this is what you want, then only you make that great decision to be ordained as a full bhikkhuni or a bhikkhu. But nowadays, to be ordained as a bhikkhuni, there is some form of mundane controversy within the Sangha. Certain tradition, according to what they have been taught. No? So, bhikkhuni ordination is no more, especially to the Theravada tradition. But there are some monks who try to revive them and promote them. Mahayana is different. Tibetan is different. I think they still maintain the bhikkhuni order. So ordination in those traditions, you can still see them. They are quite common. But it's quite common practice nowadays for those Theravada tradition, bhikkhuni, who really wants to have this bhikkhuni ordination, to go to various type of places where they can have it done. If I'm not wrong, Nepal. Was it Nepal or Sri Lanka? Sri Lanka. The bhikkhuni order you can do in Sri Lanka. Yeah, Sri Lanka. Then many also, they go to Mahayana tradition or the what they call Tibetan tradition, where they can be ordained into full bhikkhuni order. To me, if you want my views, I make it very simple. Ordination is your own heart, anasana. It has got nothing to do with male and female. The gender is irrelevant. But then you may ask me a question, Pratyu, like that, then why did the Buddha's time? He initially objected, then later he agreed, consented. Means the Buddha also take into consideration the bhikkhuni order. But the Buddha's reason for allowing or not allowing is different, anasana. It's not based on gender. Because he is the Sammasambuddha, he knew. After having gone through many of this world system, civilization, that rise and fall. So for our Saha world, means within our this world system, he has seen similar one that arise and pass. The one that introduced the bhikkhuni order, somehow the sasana shortened by 500 years. That was the reason why he was reluctant at first to give consent to the bhikkhuni order. But because of conditions, somehow finally he consented. And the first bhikkhuni order was established because of the condition then. Mainly it was because of the the mother's sister who looked after him after the mother passed away, remember? Pajawatpati, how to pronounce his, her name? Queen what? I know got Pajapati or something like But anyway, because she lead the female devotee to seek bhikkhuni ordination. But at that time, the Buddha said no. So Ananda was also very sad that Ananda keep on pestering the Buddha. He said, she raised you, she looked after you. She did so much thing for you. And all these lady devotees, they are so serious about the cultivation. And they have their, what they call, parami. The Buddha knew all this. He said, yeah, they have. But the sasana is going to be shortened by 500 years. You know why the 500 years is so important? Because 500 years of sasana is actually very, very rare. This sasana is supposed to last for 5,000 years. If you take away 500, it's 110. And to be born during a Buddha sasana is a very, very rare condition. So because of that, the Buddha being the fully enlightened one, he know how to weigh the significance of all this. So efforts out of love and compassion for the future living beings. He would like to preserve the status quo order. But later on, because of condition, he must have good reason. Because of the sincerity and all those affinity and all those things. Just like initially when he became enlightened, he reflected, then he was reluctant to share and teach the Dhamma, remember? Then later Sahampati came down, then offered the advice. Not to say he doesn't understand all this. He understands, but the condition has to come, understand not? Means somebody must request. It's just like during our meditation class, after the meditation, I ask you all, anybody want to report meditation or ask any question? These are the conditions for Dhamma to flow. If nobody asks, nothing happens. So likewise, Sahampati requested. That's why whatever the Buddha do, you realize one thing. And that was what my past is also perfecting. And I have this understanding. Nothing arises unless there are causes and conditions. Like just now at the dinner, I explained to, I think, some of the Kayanamita there. They were discussing something. What was the reason idea? Mimi. He was talking about the sun, the second sun. Jin Hao was with her. Jin Hao said, wow, you're these two children, very special, gifted, can meditate, can lie down, and all those things. Then the elder son, Chai Chai, also very wise from the past, can understand many things. Then he said, the second son asked her some very good question. He asked, what is the difference between the silent mind and daily mindfulness? Can you understand? Can follow? You all never ask. This type of people, so young, they ask. Then he asked the mom, what is that silent mind? What is that true nature? See, so young, ask this type of thing. Then after Mimi explained everything, then she asked the mother again, is it? He said, why so unfair? Is it? He, this life, he's helping a lot of his friends and classmates who go through suffering. They like consulted him and all that he has to do a lot. He said, why must I do all this, is it, so that I cannot enjoy life? Is it? I also want to have the peacefulness, the stillness, the silence, and the beautiful mind state. But I have to cope with all these things. Then I told Mimi, later on he will understand who complained, the thought complained. So later on he will come to understand when he has the Dhamma, everything is condition arising. If there is no condition, nothing happens. You will not fall into the trap of delusion where the mind is too eager to help. Everything also wants to help. Then Mimi suddenly recall the Diamond Sutta. There is still a mark. It's a mark of living being to help. A mark of a cell to do all these things. So finally, when you have the understanding, like the Buddha, being a fully enlightened and some other, he knew, he understood all this. That's why he need condition for things to unfold. That's why you must request. Understand? Sometimes certain things you have to request minimum 3 times. Then in Yunshan's case, 3 times also I say no, wait. I say condition not there yet. When condition there, things will unfold. Then after the 3rd time, even I say no, after he left, this nature suddenly inside responded and spoke. He said, "Hey, your time has come. Condition has arisen. You better come out." Then this one is very straightforward. It will not just like that come out, because it has its love and compassion for living being. Because just like what happened to Sakyamuni, this teaching is so difficult to understand. It's the opposite of what living being understand and do. So how can you share? It is out of love and compassion for certain of these beings who still don't understand, who has delusion. And there are many of these because their views are so strong. And if I were to come out to share, they don't know who this nature is. And like a lay person has nothing. Then when you share, these people at the back will say a lot of funny things. Then the repercussion is very severe, because this nature never do anything. Nature's law take effect. I came to know this because in the early day when I was in Brickfield doing the recording, I also sit at the back. And I heard all these comments. And you can get a shock of your life the way they comment. That time other monks come and give talk and sharing. When it's different technique, method, or teaching, oh, their comment, I tell you. Sometimes you also pity them. So in order not to arise any of this condition for negativity or this nature to arise, that's why this nature has decided not to do anything until condition is there. And because of that, I started to reflect, how can I come out and share and yet prevent all this? And that's why I set three conditions. This nature set three conditions. So finally, all of Dhamma is developing the wisdom to accord and flow, because in reality, like Diamond Sutta, he know you, he know me. If it's he know you, he know me, then there is no living being. Even Dhamma also doesn't really exist. Dhamma is for the conditioned world, the existential world. Then form and mind are living beings. They are impermanent. Your grasp cling through delusion, it leads to suffering. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity, that's why it's anatta, non-self, empty. So all this, those who have developed the cultivation, they will understand. And they will know how to go about doing it. So coming back to the question or the topic on significance of renunciation, you have to understand why you want to renounce and who renounce. Understand that? This form of mind that shape is the outward form Dhamma. Understand that? This one is not you. Understand that? But you need this vehicle, this tool, to develop the cultivation, the understanding, to harmonize with the mind, so that you can develop this cultivation to realize and liberate this mind. So you must understand, body and mind must harmonize. That's why even though this one is not you with the physical body, like my teacher used to tell me, Achayantra, you remember what he said? What did he say? very good, Engvi Sado. He always remind the devotee. At that time, the moment I heard first time, I remember that Dhamma until now. I don't have to commit to memory. No. He just told me, in fact, he told the audience, he said, body is just a body. Mind is mind. Body, never the mind. Mind, never the body. But body is important too, you see, because we need this body to harmonize with the mind to develop the cultivation. But we choose the care mind, is it? Because mind is the most important. Mind is the forerunner of all things. So this body is just a vehicle that you need to use to perform the function of a living being. Like this life, this form and mind, this physical body you call Brahmatio, is my nature's functional body that comes through karmic conditioning for this nature to use. That's why you have to take care, but you don't attach, and that's how you don't cling. The mind tool is a tool for you to use to develop all of your perfection, cultivation, and wisdom. You must not attach and cling and deludedly hold. That's why Huineng came to great enlightenment when the fifth patriarch shared with him. He said in the Diamond Sutta, it was mentioned, you have to understand these two minds clearly so that you know how to use them without clinging onto them, holding onto them. Straight away, Huineng came to great enlightenment, great awakening. So this understanding is very, very important. So when you have this understanding, when you decide to go forth or commit yourself to this type of life, or they call the renunciation type of life, the life of a renunciate, or somebody going forth. So under the teaching, there are three types of renunciation, even in Theravada tradition. First, the Buddha said that is kaya vivika. You know what is kaya, physical body? Vivika is renunciation. Means you renounce all physical things. That's why when you decide to go for, you renounce all of your possession, your wealth, your loved one, all physical things you renounce. That is at the form level, first level of renunciation. That's why you shave your hair. Yeah? But shaving of the hair has a lot of meaning, yeah? A lot of significance. Understand? I remember one time Ramananda explained it this way. I don't know whether it's a joke or what. He said, renunciation means you shave your head bald, understand? Then what happened? Huh? You look into the mirror, you know, girls will not look at you. So people who go gunting and gamble also don't look at you because this is sui. So this one let you recall to mind that you have renounced the world. And the society can recognize you. Because you have gone forth, you live a life of a renunciate. Means you are there to commit yourself to full-time cultivation, to realize this teaching, this enlightenment, to liberate your mind so that you can be a blessing to all. So last time, Chief Reverend used to tell us this story. When he was young, he also had this intention to renounce the world. But then at that time, he also had this love for the parents. He actually came back and talked to the mother. He said, what about you all? He said, when I renounce, you will be alone. And I cannot do my duty and all those things to serve you and all those things. You know what the mother told him or not? That's why he remember until that day when he shared with us. He shared all those things was because my two kids who were underage wanted to join the novitiate program in the year 1987, I remember. Then he mentioned, he said, my son's request was at the age exactly when he was about to ask to be shaved and renounced. He recalled at that same age. That's why he saw my son very cute. Then Ramananda, very smart, told my son, you really want to shave? Okay, I teach you. Come, I take you see Chief Reverend. You request 3 times. Then really, Chief Reverend, out of compassion because of condition and affinity, he accepted. Then because my daughter also, there's a both were accepted. Then a lot of people complain. No? Some of their children miss 1 week, 1 day, 2 days, all also cannot register. No? But this too young guy, so young, were given the registration and not only can partake, they also actually dress white. Yeah? Then exactly like the Samanera and Samaneri, my son shave. Oh. Then it caused a commotion on the first day. Then Chief Reverend have to nip it at the bud and explain before the whole thing starts. He said, this is a special occasion, special condition. He said, I hope after this, no more this complaint and question and all this thing. So all this come about because of condition. So when you renounce, when you decide, means you already very strong within, means you must have that calling from inside, understand that? And this is what you want, because it could be your past vow. Or this life, when you develop the cultivation, you already have this clear understanding that if I go for, I do it full time this way, it will definitely benefit me tremendously. Yeah. But one thing I can assure you, you don't have to go for to do it. Like I say, going for is your heart, understand that? Not physically, externally. It's nothing to do with gender. When you commit yourself to the way, you can take your own bodhisattva vow. You can take your own whatever refuge and all those things. But because of the lineage and the tradition, they want it to be from the Sangha, understand that? But you ask yourself, before the Sangha was formed, the Sakyamuni Buddha, he was not ordained by anybody here in the Sangha. I mean that life. Then he became the Sammasambuddha. Then after that, before that 5 ascetic that follow him become Arahant, there was not enough number to form the Sangha. So these are formality in the Sangha that will bring forth the tradition so that people who are serious about all these things, renunciation, they can go through a proper ordination ceremony where the Buddha has laid down all the conditions so that when you understand them, it will benefit you tremendously because the whole ordination process, you are reminded of many, many things. Then you are reminded of your precept and your vows and all those things. Theravada one is not so severe. It's only the 227 precept. Lady maybe more. But Mahayana, straight away, they will give you the Bodhisattva precepts. The 4 basic vows of a Bodhisattva. Then the 3 type of pure precepts. This will be automatically administered with understanding. So going for has a lot of significance. And people believe that you can renounce and live the proper life of a renunciate. That is a great blessing, a great merit, not only to the individual, to the parents and all those things. That's why in India they believe in that. That's why the mother, that's not I forgot, Chief Reverend's mother told Chief Reverend, he said, do you know why we want you to go for? And we are so proud of you doing that. Because if you don't go for, you stay back, you only serve your parents. You understand that? But if you go for, and you seriously study, cultivate, and develop the understanding, you serve the whole of humanity. See, this is the extent of the mother's understanding and wisdom. Modern society, what happened? When they heard their son or their daughter want to go for, all the parents panic already. What they do? They don't simply believe all these things. Then they scared one. Wow, once go for all, they will donate everything. Then they lose their children. But the tradition in India at that time was different. They are so proud if any member of the family can go for. That's why Sri Panya also relate to us. He put the question back to the family member and the parents. If any of you can take that role, then he will not renounce. But none, he said, that's why I have to go. He was the only son. So that was the great story that you hear from all those who already very clear within. But because the precepts are such training rules that you have to be very mindful of, it serves as a very good training of mindfulness. Then it keeps you in focus, anasana. That's why it depends on the individual. If you are serious, then you will progress very fast. You will become awakened or enlightened very fast. But it depends on your sincerity. That's why finally it boils down to faith, sincerity, and understanding or perseverance. If you don't develop that, you only outwardly, physically renounce, but your heart is not really deep within, no point. So a lot of people used to say this, which I never agree, because they say what no. But I used to hear them during the early day. They say, monk go full time also find it so difficult. We all lay people have to work, have to slog, have to do all this. We don't stand a chance. Forget about it. Never have that type of idea. That is the thought. No. Even during the Buddha's time, there are a lot of lay people who became enlightened. And they are very, very unique and very beautiful. One of them is Chitta. I like that guy. Then Vimalaya Kitty. He was another great being who always come as a lay person. Yeah. According to the Sutta, Vimalakiti Sutta, he has met up with 90 million Samasambuddha. Yeah. Not 90 Samasambuddha, 90 million Samasambuddha. And yet he is still a Bodhisattva cultivating. That's why there are a lot of beings with very strange vow and very unique understanding and other things. So renunciation has a lot of meaning and merits and blessing. If you do it sincerely, that parami is very, very, very powerful. And then you know how to make aspiration and all things. They bring forth a lot of wholesomeness. So understanding is very important. Faith is very important. That's why this spiritual trip you are going, you must have strong faith, then strong understanding. Then you have to be very sincere about what you want. No deviation. Then automatically all this will fall into place. Whatever precept they give you, 200 something or what, you always go back to the basic. The Mahayana one is very good. The three types of pure precept, the four universal vow or basic vow of a bodhisattva determine to train and cultivate until they perfect them all to become samasambuddha. You all heard of these three types of pure precepts or not? Yeah? Or you all haven't heard? Actually, it's basically the advice of Samasambuddha, but the third one has been modified by Mahayana. The first type of pure precept is to avoid all evil. Yeah. And that one is a very important precept. You cannot violate. That's why you must hold on to your precept and train your mind to have mindfulness so that you are ever mindful, never to break any of all this. precept that lead to negativity, so that your mind is free from all evil. And that is a very, very severe training. Then the second one is to cultivate all wholesomeness, all blessings. Whatever wholesomeness and blessing, you have to cultivate them. Then the third one is to liberate all beings. To liberate all beings means to take them across. To do that, you must have the wisdom, the enlightenment. That's why the third one is not like Sakyamuni's advice, purify your mind, understand? Because they already awakened before they want to walk this way of the Bodhisattva way. That's why they will not make that type of precept. So their precept has been modified to determine, undertake the training rules to liberate all beings, so that all living beings can be taken across. And to do that, you must have the four basic vow, the four universal vow. The four universal vow, I think most of you all have heard before, I have mentioned it a few times. The first universal vow is to liberate all the limitless living beings. So you vow to take them all across. So that is also part of the third precepts. The third precept is to undertake the training rule to do all this, to abstain from negligence in doing all these things. Then the second basic universal vow of a precept is very important, to endure and severe all suffering, vexation, fear, worry, and anxiety. Because to do this work, you have to go through a lot of hardship, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of endurance are required. A lot of wisdom and understanding are required. So if you cannot endure and severe all these tests and suffering, you cannot walk this way, you cannot do this work. Then the third universal vow is also equally important, because without this, there is no way you can carry out your duty or undertake the vow. The third universal vow is you determine, you vow to cultivate and penetrate all dhammas. Not only the Four Noble Truths to become enlightened, you have to cultivate and penetrate all dhammas, means all aspects of the dhamma understanding, so that when you come and liberate beings, you can do it, because everyone is different, every condition is different, every society and civilization is different. Without this all-knowing understanding or wisdom, you cannot do this work. That's why it's not easy to teach or to share. Then the last one is, you vow to perfect all the 10 perfections to become Sammāsambuddha. So these are very important understanding. And when you have these three pure precepts and the four basic vow, all the others will fall into place. All the others is to prevent you from making mistake when you become a monk or a nun or a bhikkhuni or a renunciate. And it's also to train you in mindfulness. But do not fall into the delusion of allowing the precept to bind you, anasana. Precept is meant to train you, to give you the condition to train your mind to be ever mindful of this precept, so that you do not violate them. But if you become too rigid, what happens? The precept bind you. You keep on worrying, hey, Buddha say this one I cannot do, that one I cannot do. So instead of understanding the precept and make use of it to develop mindfulness and to train yourself properly so that you can walk the path and develop the understanding and the cultivation, it becomes a burden to you, understand? You go and worry about this precept. Oh, die lah, I violated this precept. I cannot cope with all this precept, too many. Then you are not really cultivating. The thought is telling you a lot of story, understand? That's why the egoic mind, the delusion is very strong, very powerful. And when you are not ready, you cannot cope. That's why you think when you enter the monkhood or the bhikkhuni order, or when you renounce, you will have a lot of time to practice. You will like think that it's the most ideal case. Wait till you try and go in. You find out, see whether it's easy or not. Because you will be subjected to another whole range of all these precepts and all these things. That's why for me, cultivation is about the heart. I'm not interested in formality, but you have to be very sincere, very truthful, to the extent that you cannot violate, because you understand, not worthwhile to violate. If you carry this precept just because you just want to comply, not to break, then you better don't renounce. That is my advice. Means you cannot understand. This precept is to help you, to assist you. And you have to understand that it's never worthwhile to break. Even as a lay person, you cannot violate and break. Because it's not worth it. Your karmic nature won't fall. You will become miserable. And when you have all this understanding, you already, to me, it's like a renunciate. Understand? You already ordained within. That's why my teacher, Achayantra, told me this one. Very, very good one. That time he knew, I think. Even one of my teachers also warned my wife. He said, you better get ready. You know what she told her? Yeah, she is a lady teacher, told my wife. He said, your husband will go fall. Will renounce the world, he said. Then that time my wife also panicked. We are the children still young. My father also panicked. That's why my father refused to listen to any Dhamma. He scared I become monk. But later on, at the end of his life, there was one day when I went back for New Year, he suddenly told me, I got nothing to give you. Then he took out something from the drawer. Something that he really very passionate, and that was the only thing he gave me, you know, throughout my life. You know what was it, you know? One calendar with the Sammasambuddha in front, radiant. I don't know how he received it also. And he was so happy. At that time he knew I won't renounce. So these are the conditions. And my teacher, just now I didn't finish, Ajahn, he said, renunciation is not about ordination, shaving, and wearing the robe. He said, if the robe defines the monk, if I put the robe on a tree, the tree also become monk. He said, wow, that was the biggest awakening. Oh, I said, yeah. All the while I had that understanding, because whether you are monk or not is within your nature, your heart, your understanding, your wisdom, your sincerity, your faith, your understanding, and your perseverance. And that is the real one, the real monk or nun within. Not all the outward appearance, not by virtue of your bald head and your robe. If you don't live and cultivate like a true renunciate, you are far from what it is supposed to be. So all these are the important understanding that you must develop so that you can make full use of it to develop all this cultivation, perfection, and all those things. Then just now I didn't finish. The first part is kaya vivika, means physical renunciation. You renounce all of your physical things, your wealth, your possession, your loved ones, and even your worldly mundane name. Understand? That's why when you go for ordination, they will give you a new name. They call it your Dhamma name. I don't know whether I have got enough time or not. Okay. Suddenly this condition arises. My this teacher, Jayantra, he very wise. Last time everybody, a lot of people, go and ask him to give name. But he is very good at giving name. Then he gave my wife, my sister-in-law, my two children all. But he never gave to me. Because he knew I don't need him. Then there was one monk, another monk, very senior monk. I think he can feel and he can sense that I'm very different. Because there were a few occasions when I drove her, it's a he, that monk, to a few of these way places. One of them is, I think, Sungai Buloh. Was it Sungai Buloh? No. There is a Lingam one, is it? Lingam one, is it? Batu Arang, Batu Arang, yes. One, three, I. Then the way I describe my meditation, he was asking me how I meditate. Then the way I describe my meditation, he got a shock of his life. He looked at me, he kept on looking at me. Then after that, he said, I give you a name. I said, no need. No, I must give you. You know what name he gave me? I write down, see whether you all can understand. But I told him no need. But this name turned out to be something quite unique. Kema Viro. You know the meaning of Kema, not? Huh? Aya Kema, you heard of, yeah? Liberation, Sadhu. Ingbi no. Kema means liberation. Viro is hero. Hero of liberation. He gave me that title. I look at him. Then I smile. I say, never mind. Name is not important. He said, no. You must have this name. Because later on at Batu Arang, when I pay respect to him, he was very happy. He said, wait. He sit properly. He put his robe very nice. He waited for that moment. Then he was very, very full of joy and happy. Well, later on, I, together with Nancy, sponsor his flight to Australia to see my teacher, Ajayantra, the Katina. Then, during that Katina, very strange, he also quite a good monk. He was observing. He keep on coming to talk to me, The third day, fourth day, fifth day. He said, Pratyo, something happened to you. Keep on telling me that. Because he got psychic on. He can sense and see things on. Then he must have seen a lot of things. But I said, I don't know. My nature, my mind was very beautiful. That's the only thing I know. I said, whatever will be, will be. Whatever that is meant to be, will be. But most of the time when I was there, I was silent. Because that nature there was very beautiful, very intense. So coming back to the second topic, spiritual trip, this is what you must have. You must have faith, very strong faith. It will help you a lot. When my faith was developed, spiritual teaching keep on unfolding. When I have faith in my that teacher, Jayantra, Xuanhua, and all those things, little teacher. I just listen attentively, and all the understanding just unfold. They never teach me. They just talk to me, advise me. Like Acharyantra, he just reminded me 6 times, we choose contemplate the Dhamma until very, very clear. And now I tell you the same thing. Does it help you? Oh, but it helped me tremendously. Then there was also another incident I remember. No less than 6 to 7 times, everywhere I go, every of these monks that I met, they tell me the same message. That's why different time, different message come. He said, patient, patient. One of the other monks was the Chao Kun in Penang, the sleeping Buddha there, where there is this Thai temple. That Chao Kun was very good. That Chao Kun, that time I was quite young. I went there with that Christian, remember, Uncle Ku. We were 2 of us there. And I went in and paid respect. That time a lot of visitors there. Respect. Very strange, you know. That Chao Kun can sense, though, he was actually talking to somebody else, devotee. The moment we walk in, me and him, the Uncle Ku, I just pay my respect. But I was very mindful that my nature very different that time. Immediately after I do that, because I also mindful, I can sense him, though, that he was looking at me, the two of us. Then in the moment we finish, then we want to go. He excused himself from that devotee and approached us. Then talk to us, then invite us to go into his private room. That was the year 1990, I remember, Penang. Then went in, he talked to us. He was full of joy, he kept on talking to us. Then he keep on looking at me. He said, remember one thing, he said. He speak in Hokkien. Hokkien. He said, patience is very important. Tun Lun, he said. No matter what happened, patience will lead to liberation. Exactly like what the Buddha said, Kanti Paramang Sukhang. You know what is Kanti? Patient. Patient via wisdom, no. Patient endurance is not suppression and control, understand? It's patient endurance through wisdom, through understanding. That's why you must meditate with the understanding, silent. Don't try to know. Patient. Be patient. When causes and condition is there, things will unfold. That's why patience is very important. So have faith. Develop the joy, the virya, the tenacity. Then sincerely walk this way. So faith, sincerity, and perseverance will lead to the way, the unfolding of Dhamma, the understanding and everything. Then make full use of the condition there. Silence your mind. Be aware. Then when there is condition, make aspiration. Then send love and metta all around, wherever you can feel, you radiate. Then you rejoice, keep on rejoicing. Then cultivate heedfulness, daily mindfulness, ever mindful. Then everything will unfold. The factors of enlightenment will unfold. The understanding will unfold. All conditions will be fulfilled. So these are the few things. Because spiritual trip has actually helped me a lot. During that time, I used to lead quite a number. And the condition just unfold. Then after that, after I think 1992, I remember, all of a sudden, no more spiritual trip, nothing. Until 2004, when Yun Chan came. Then I think 2005 or 6 only, we start to have the spiritual trip again. We went to a few places. Then later on, as the thing unfold, then recently we have a lot, especially the last 2 years. Then next year program also line up already. I also don't know how it happened. Things just happen. But don't worry. Let things be. Don't become impatient. When there is no condition, just let it be. Because when you are patient, things will unfold. Then regarding the three type of renunciation, just now I only finished one, physical renunciation. Remember? Physical, you renounce your name. Then talking about this name. So now you know why this name came. That monk must have seen something or noticed something. Then the second type of renunciation is citta viveka, means renunciation of mind, seclusion of mind. The first one is physical seclusion or renunciation, then mental seclusion. This one is for those who want to train to abide within, to develop the deep silence and the stillness within. The citta viveka means you renounce the world, you look inward. You reverse the light and shine inward. Understand? 回光返照. Then you develop mindfulness within so that your mind stabilizes. But this one got one danger. Those who do energy field, they go into seclusion. They go into what they call absorption, one-pointedness. Then actually they go into something like cessation, but it's not cessation. The mind is like blank, completely blank out. Then you stay there very long, like the formless rhyme and all those things. So that one is mental seclusion. Then that one, they are very peaceful, they are very still, like enlightened. That's why they don't want to come out. But this is not the enlightenment that the Buddha talked about. The enlightenment that the Buddha talked about is able to live life. That's why it's the third type of renunciation or seclusion. The Buddha called it upadhi viveka. Upadhi viveka means mental renunciation born of wisdom. When there is wisdom, there is equanimity. Then you are at peace anywhere, any place, any time, under any condition. That is the real peace. The third type of peace, upadhi viveka. And that is the peace of the enlightened being. That one you don't have to seclude your mind. So maybe with this, I end my talk. I still got 5 minutes for you all to ask questions. You can rejoice. Okay, you got any question? Anything that you want to clarify or understand? Especially those going to India. How many of you are? I was told 14, but here only 2. You and Tenzin, three. Oh, 4, 5, at least got 5, 6, quite a number. 7, 8. I think at least got 8. Alien also, or 9. Yeah, quite a number are here. So you all got any question? Yes. Susan, yes. Pass the mic, Well, Susan, you hide at one corner, I can't see you. don't worry.
Relative?
Yes.
Going to India, if there is sudden urge to want to renounce.
Oh, okay.
Without any preparation.
You will know what to do. You will know what to do. You don't have to be prepared. When the time comes, when the condition is there, your nature will know. Things will just happen. Like those who went on spiritual trip, the tears just come, they just cry. Because at that moment something can happen and you can just connect. Like what happened to Song. I think now he's having a good time. He also can sense. Before he went, I told him, I say very likely he will go through cessation there. He will experience it. Well, he is ready. And the 2-month retreat, he say he is just a helper. Then he say he will go to the room and lie down more. Then he will go through that thing. That's why that time before he left, I remember he came and talked to me and told me he's going for this 2 months. This was something that he promised to do many years ago. Then that time when he told me earlier on, he was worried because he was committee member of that thing. So he said, when I go and do all those duties that time, how is it? I say, you don't worry, because these are all nature's condition. When the time come, you will understand. Then that time he worry. Then I say, you don't worry, because all this has its condition. Then at that time, because he haven't connect, so I told him very likely it's coming obstruction, you have to ask for forgiveness. Then later on he really did that. Then he connect. I think this year, beginning of this year, after Rayong, Achananda. Then after that, when he understand, so much of this thing happened, and insight keep on unfolding, transforming. Then the understanding keep on unfolding. Then the Dhamma become very clear. Last time before he connect, he said he read my book 6 times, he cannot understand. Totally cannot understand. And after that, he said, Virtue, how come like that? All of a sudden, he understand. I say, it's because this one comes from the silent mind. This teaching comes from the silent mind. That's why I say you have to connect. You have to have the condition. Then the connection enable him to realize the silent mind. Then from there, that's why all the Dhamma unfold. And he just understand. Then he understand what sati is. He understand what daily mindfulness is. Then he can do the lying down so easily. And the whole thing stabilized so fast. That's why he moved so fast during that first 2-3 months. And a lot of things just happened. And it's not this life alone. Past life he cultivated before. That's why it can happen, it can unfold. Then when he told me he was going for this one, he got no more problem. He also knew. Then I told him very likely it will happen. Then I was told, he told my wife also, he said, this trip, something will happen. So when he come back, don't be too eager to ask him. Be patient, let him say. He will have a lot of things to share, I tell you. Because 2 months of intensive, that type of retreat, although he's just a helper, organizer there. So the condition will be perfect. Then he no more problem like before. Last time he always want to ask, can I do lying down? Can I 1 hour? Now no more question. He know what to do. And everything become like so beautiful. That's why Dhamma is like that, Susan. You don't worry. When the time come, if it manifests, that's why the moment is the only reality. And when it happen, it will happen. Then your nature will know. If it's an inner calling, you will know what to do. There is no more thought coming to interfere, shame or shy. Must I do or must I not do? When you have that type of question, forget about it. Maybe it's from the thought. But when you're very sure, inside, just like I think Ann Chong, last year, that's why she continued to go again this year. You stay near to her. It will help you a lot. Because he got a lot of affinity with India there. The moment he landed, that chanting, the Kuan Yin, I don't know what type of chanting, I didn't ask her. He said that chanting straight away came in. And from that moment until she left India, that chanting was with her all the time, 24 hours, even in the sleep. And she was fully aware. And when she came back, she asked me, "But how come so amazing?" I say, "Because of your faith, your affinity, your condition." And you know why she went to India or not last year, that trip? Leslie, you know. Where's Leslie? He go and organize the chanting at Wu Ping Ching Sir. I remember. Then they had a briefing, asked me to brief them on what to do before they go. And you know what she told me or not? She saw that book, I got one book, where this Buddha, was it Buddha Gaya? That India one, that Mahabodhi Temple, where the Buddha got enlightened there. Is it? He said, he saw this in the dream, no? Then he asked me, what is this? Where is this place? I said, this is the famous Mahabodhi Temple, Buddha Gaya, India. He said, I saw this in the dream. Then I said, you go lah, India. Don't wait. Last minute, he joined her. He was hesitating. Then when she went for the trip, it meant to be. Then I teach her how to develop the faith and all those things. And when she came back, she was full of joy. Then before she fly there also, she saw a lot of things, many signs and all those things. Because she passed life from up there, come down. That's why she can have that affinity and contact and connection. So a lot of things, you will never know. Last time before she start enjoying me, he was with a Tibetan. That time, a lot of karmic obstruction. A lot of suffering. A lot of very painful misery in life. That's why they keep on coming to Champaka. Saturday that time, you generally know, during the early day. The three of them, I remember. New people, I don't know them. I don't know where they heard about me. They keep on coming. Even after the first batch, Suti, they all left. These three always there. Then together with a few. Then I used to tell them, even one sincere one, I will teach. Then finally, the group, he came back finally, Huilin, the rest. Then later on, she came back after 3 years, then we went Wutaisan, you remember? For no reason, he left for 2 years, I think, missing. Then suddenly that Saturday came back, then he asked, where he remembered me talking about spiritual trail. He said, "Brother, organizing any more spiritual trail?" Then they told him, yeah, Wutaisan, but full already. Because there was a lot who wants to go. Then one of them came and talked to me. Then I knew, because she is different. Because last time when she reported her meditation, the first time she came for my meditation class, I knew. Then after that, when I gave the Sunday talk at Babs, that was 5-6 years ago, I think. Then early morning she came. She reported to me her meditation. Then I told her, this is from your past. Normal people cannot have this type of meditation experience at all. Then I remember she got her pass. Then I told that person who helped me to organize, I said, include her. He said, the pass is full. Because New Zealand there, China there, they very strict one. Then I say, talk to them, increase the bus size. Then they really increase. From 24-seater to, 40-seater, I don't know what. Then that group a lot went. I remember Sui An Mi Fong also went. That was their first trip with me. So all this will unfold, understand not? Then when it unfolds, it's very beautiful. You will just connect, and the nature will just understand. You will know what to do. That's why you are not in the spiritual field, you cannot understand all this. That's why the Bodhisattva vow, you must penetrate all Dhamma. Otherwise, you cannot understand all these things. Yeah. That's why I used to tell some of you, you all may think this is fairy tale. Not only fairy tale, it's more fantastic than fairy tale. The real thing that happened is more fantastic than fairy tale. Yeah. It really can unfold in this way. So Susan, don't worry. If it come, we all sadhu you. The calling. You don't use the word urge. Urge means calling, not touch. But we understand you. Any more questions, Susan? Yeah? Sadhu. Okay, no more, huh? So we better let them rest. You all still got your food to take, no? Shall we end? Unless you really got one serious question. Sadhu, and rejoice. Okay, then maybe we will do the sharing of merits. Wait. Pamasuri want to make offering. Those who want to make offering to Sifu Tun Siong, you can do. Can.
This is just now some of every one of us contributed to the dinner. And we agree, we round up the figure and we agree to donate to our March retreat. To make the donation snowball roll up. So it's all 2,000, is it?
You all should rejoice, because of their sincerity, their wholesomeness. So this is the first donation to our next year's retreat fund pool, common pool. So we rejoice. Sadhu. Then maybe, Suyan, you could bring cash or not? You didn't bring cash, borrow from here. Then replenish. We make offering to Sifu Tun Siong, our Kaya Mita Fund. You take out 500 and make the offering. On our behalf. This one still go to retreat fund, you don't worry. That one donation, 500 is from, got envelope or not? That one come from Kaya Nimitta Fund. So our small gesture, Sifu Tun Siong, so that we can have affinity with you, with your nature later on. Sadhu. We should all rejoice. Because there is condition to do. That's why we can do. We don't purposely do. So all these are what I meant by causes and condition. If there is no causes and condition, nothing happen. That's why Dhamma is very beautiful, very meaningful, and very unique when you understand. Everything is Dhamma. All of life is Dhamma. When there is Dhamma, there is no suffering. There is only joy. There is only understanding, peace, deep within. And that love, that compassion will unfold on its own through understanding. That it understands very clearly. It does not make preference or prejudice or discriminate, nothing. Like I explained to them earlier, people whom I don't know, you've got condition, I will share the Dhamma, I will help. But people who can be very close to me, related to me, if no condition, nothing happened. Okay. Yeah. Help us to make the offering. Together. Sadhu. So we should all rejoice. With the wholesomeness, with the affinity and everything. So all this can bring forth a lot of future condition for things to happen and manifest. That's why Kayanamita Shiva is very important. The Buddha always say, Kayanamita Shiva is all of the holy life and the sana. Because you never know who they are. If you are sincere, you have the affinity and the condition. Any of this Kayamita, they have their potential, very, very great potential. Some may not know because it haven't ripened. Like those that have the condition to connect and ripen, straight away they become so different. Then you will come to understand all this as you walk this path. So you only need to meet one real one. You in Hokkien, Chia Bei Liao. Anasana. So do not underestimate your nature, who you are, what you are, where you never knew who you encounter. And among Kayamita, this is fertile ground to develop Kayamita. That's why be sincere, have faith. Then do. Just do. Don't try to know. Everything will unfold. What you do this life can pave the way for many, many things to happen in future. And even this life, we are together not by chance. In previous encounter, we also have conditions similar. That's why a lot of you all cannot understand karma. Otherwise, how can you come? Why not others? Why only you? Oh, even Brother Sia and the wife from birth so far also come. And you may think that luckily they know Susan, they should thank Susan. No, all these are their parami and their condition. Even they know Susan, if they don't have the condition, the affinity parami, you think they can have this understanding, this faith? Impossible. Because they learn meditation from a different tradition and it's different. Then she keep on telling me about how amazing the understanding of thought-based meditation. He appreciates that so much. He must have heard from Susan. At first, he cannot understand, I remember. Then he came to the Wu Ping Ching Se class. Then after I explained, he asked some question, I remember. Then I took that opportunity to explain further. Then later on, I think he got the books. Then from there, he started to understand. Because the example given in the sharing were very unique, very beautiful, about thought-based meditation. Okay, we better end. Anything else? That's all, sadhu, Then we do the sharing of merits, transforming. We cut it short, only Pali. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaka mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva amanovadantu sabba sampati siddhya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo ibina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo otu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, we pay respect mindfully to the triple gem. Then we end. Bedang pucemi. Damang pucemi. Sanghang pucemi. Okay, thank you. Yeah, don't be shy, louder. Sadhu, sadhu. Last time, during the early day, you know, when I cultivate, I am the first to rejoice. I am very loud one. I do the recording. And you can hear my sadhu in the recording one last time. And Ajayantra knew. That's why when he gave the talk in Australia during Katina time, he mentioned about my whole family. He liked my family a lot. He liked my two kids, my wife and my son. He said, this one Dhamma family. He even told the disciple, he said, Dhamma family. Okay.
Yeah.
other thing to add is sadhu is actually one of the 10 meritorious section. And when you rejoice a lot, I realize your heart here open up. Understand? Or? That's why don't be paiseh like the thought, sadhu, sadhu. I rejoice that time, very strong inside. Huh? And I'm the first to do it when every time. Huh? Can, yeah. Yeah, can, yeah.
May all the India pilgrims have a safe and enlightening trip. Yeah, on behalf of Brother Tion and Sister Padmasuri, let's say big sadhu to all those that offer the puja offering tonight.
I take this opportunity when everyone is here to invite Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, and hopefully Sifu can make it on the 1st of January to my house for Dana. And to all Kalana Mitas, I know it sounds like so kanchong, and you know, but because
don't worry.
To India,
a lot of Kalana Mita will attend because you have a lot of parami and you are very sincere. You don't worry.
On the behalf of all the Kalana Mitas. And those that is making this spiritual trip to India, I think to you all some of it is very significant. And going to this trip is really a great blessing for you all to be able to undertake this pilgrimage. And with this, on the behalf of all the Kayamitas, I really sincerely, deep inside all our hearts, that all of you all is able to connect with the Buddha nature somehow or other in the spiritual place. So with this, all of you all will progress in your spiritual journey, so that you are able to walk this path and use your form and mind to connect back to the true nature, so that you are able to walk this spiritual path to realize all truth, mundane and supramundane, so that you are able to fulfill what you want to do in this spirit, in your spiritual goal. So sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Thank you everybody for coming. Thank you for giving us. Thank you everybody for. Thank you everybody for coming and thank you for all the support. I don't know what to say. I really rejoice. I've not been so excited for so long. Because I thought I was very calm already. But tonight I cannot hold. Anyway, I would like to take this opportunity maybe to ask for forgiveness again. On behalf. On behalf of all the pilgrims, we would like to ask for forgiveness from Brother Teo and Sifu And all beings, for all this while, intentionally or unintentionally, that we have through our body, speech and mind, did any mistakes, caused any sufferings to any beings, please forgive us. We would like to also forgiven all those that have caused. We would like to clear all the grudges. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thank you very much for those who have sponsored this pilgrimage trip. In fact, I know it's a bit expensive. When first Padmasuri asked me to say she want to me to go, I said it's too expensive. I said, try not to be a burden to others. I said, if you don't have enough, you let me know. I can do on my part, I said. But she said, don't worry, Sifu. Everything we take care.
Yeah, so we would like to thank everybody for making time here. Then also those Sufultan Singh and all those going to India. We wish them all the best. Good health, good life, good spiritual trip, and good cultivation. So that whatever good and noble wishes that they have may arise the causes and conditions for them to be fulfilled through all their paramis and through all their wholesomeness that they have developed over the past few years of cultivation. This will bring forth the causes and conditions for many things to unfold. That's why invoking the power of merits for channeling your aspiration to fruition is very important. All the vows can be carried through because of all this aspiration and merits. So merits are important, blessings are important, not only for worldly things, for you to channel your positive thought, your wholesomeness, your good and noble blessing or wishes. So all this, if you understand, you will know how to make full use of it, and when you know how to apply them, you become beautiful. Your path will be like very, very much more easier, and things will unfold a lot faster. That's why there is a lot of way to cultivate, not just what they call in Hokkien, you don't have to like cultivate until very hard and say, wow, every day go retreat, every day cultivate. Then like the Buddha say, middle way. If you just cannot. Cultivation need a lot of understanding and patience. When you understand, it become very easy, very simple, and you progress very fast. When you don't understand, you can be very frustrating. You can be like, work very hard, cultivate very hard, spend a lot of time, no point. That's why they say, work smart, don't work hard. You must have wisdom. That's why cultivate with understanding. Otherwise, it can be a very, very long haul. But when you cultivate with understanding, all this can speed up. And you can progress very fast. That's why don't be in a hurry. Take time to understand the teaching. Then cultivate accordingly. Be patient. It will unfold faster. You rush into it, thinking that this is meditation, thinking that you have to go retreat, you have to do this, you have to do that. Then you're so eager to be enlightened. It will take you a long, long time. when the mind has got no craving, when it understands condition, allow things to manifest and unfold, that is the time you will progress very fast. Okay? So we can sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So this time really end. Okay, you can help Pamasuri to clear whatever. Then we can, maybe after a while, break off. They need to pack and have enough rest.